It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. Today, we're doing part two with Joanne Galland. She is a nurse. She is a caregiver and has been for a number of years. She's also a professional long-term care licensed administrator. She worked with Kindred Healthcare for 30-plus years and was executive director at Darrigal Pines in Orono, beautiful facility, for 5 or 6 years. And in the first show, we talked about assisted living, what it is, what it isn't. We'll recap a little bit of that and then go more in depth on things that you can do if you're thinking about assisted living or have a family member or friend that you think assisted living is right for. Joanne, thanks so much for sticking around and doing part two.
Thank you.
First show, so informative. But you have a three-pronged approach mm-hmm. to this, and I'd like to recap that for those who missed the first show, although you can pick it up in podcast form at WVOMFM.com. So give me that three-prong approach that you use when discussing with someone what really assisted living is.
Yeah, so just a little background. So I am a licensed residential care administrator, but also I've been that adult decision-making daughter, niece, granddaughter-in-law. I've had a lot of opportunity to help people with that next step in choosing assisted living. And so what really is the most important thing is break it down into three sections because it can be so overwhelming. You know, really understand what it is you need, what you want, what you care about when you make a new choice of where you're going to live. Then you have to really take some time to figure out how you're going to pay for it. Huge. How you're going to pay for it really dictates where you can go. Unfortunately.
And I think people have sticker shock. I know when I've talked to my mother about some places or some place I've seen, and assisted living, private pay can be, what, $5,000 a month, $3,000, $8,000, depending on where you go?
There's quite a range, actually.
There's a range, but it's thousands.
It is thousands, but you know, Carol, it's interesting. I've had people not realize that it was so expensive, and then I've had those other people who didn't realize that it might be more affordable than they think. If they're trying to manage a 12-room home with all the expenses that come with that and the taxes, and maybe they still have a mortgage, affordable assisted living is really more available to them than they think. But yes, you have to understand how you're going to pay for it. And, you know, hopefully you're going to live for a very long time. So will your resources pay for you to live in a particular setting for a very long time? And then really location, location, location. People care about where they're going to live. Do they want to be near their family, their friends, their church, their community? Do they want to move back to the town they grew up in? Or do they want to try something different that they've always wanted? So location is huge because what if you're not going to drive? You want to be able to be in the community where the transportation that is provided for you is taking you to the places you care about that you're familiar with.
And you recommended starting now because options are limited. If you are not private pay, options are very limited. If you are on main care or have limited funds, thinking about it now and going into an assisted living is not the beginning of the end. It doesn't signal that things are going downhill. In some ways, it can actually keep you healthier. Can you expand on that?
I can. So a lot of times if people are really honest with themselves, the quality of life that they're living is really not around independence and control. You're asking for a lot of help from friends and family members. You're probably feeling guilt and feeling like a burden. And even though people tell you 100 times you're not, you're frustrated. You can't shovel. You can't cook. You don't have the initiative to make meals. So you're not taking your medications properly. So when you choose an assisted living based on the services you need, when you get there, it's amazing to me how you get some independence back. You get some control back because you're getting your meals, you're getting your medication, the stress is off your shoulders. You're actually getting healthier. You're feeling better. You're getting a better quality of life if you will give yourself a chance to experience that. And those relationships that got very morphed with your friends and family come back to being more normal, more enjoyable. people, and you can really have a much better quality of life. I have had many people tell me they waited too long. They wish they had done it sooner. It is sad to leave that physical home that you've loved for all of your life. But the reality of it is, if you're honest with yourself, the stress that you were feeling in order to stay there was really impacted in your health in a very negative way.
I will say this. So my entire adult life, I lived in an apartment. I lived out of state. I moved back. I always had an apartment. And I loved apartment living. It is one phone call. The heat was paid. One phone call if something went wrong. And then I bought a house. So it is always something. And every time it used to be, oh, it's going to snow. I love snow's beautiful. I love snowstorms. Now I'm thinking, oh, now there's shoveling and there's plowing and the guy's going to come and there's another $60. And it is a lot of stress and a lot of work because it is always something. And so there's that component of, oh, everything is done for you and taken care of. But let's say someone is in the old homestead, and if they're anything like my mother, who's in senior housing now and happy there is a lovely apartment, oh, but the stuff, there's so much stuff.
Yeah.
How do you even look at all of your belongings from this 6, 7, 8-roomed old homestead house and think about getting into maybe one room, when we'll talk about that in a little bit, one room or an apartment? How do you even get someone to think about that?
It's tough, but on what I always say is plan ahead. If you can just break it down and take it one piece at a time. I also tell people, hey, there's professionals out there that will help you. You can hire people to help you organize, downsize, get rid of stuff. And, you know, as an adult decision-making daughter, that was an option for me. My dad couldn't pay for it, but I was happy to help with that because it was so overwhelming to think about packing up a house and moving a house. And my uncle was in the same situation, you know. You know, there are professional care managers, there are professional organizers, and if you yourself can't pay for it, a family member typically might be willing to do that for you. The key is to understand you can take some things. So again, I would say, put your mind in a different mindset. You're not losing everything. You're going to still be able to take some of the things that are important to you. If you really boil down to it, the sneakers that you wore 22 years ago may not be something you need to take, but your photos, that favorite chair, you know, the things that you really care about, people can help you pare that down. And a lot of times I tell adult decision-making children or family members or whatever, ask somebody to tell you what it is they want you to do, and then maybe that person doesn't need to be involved in it because it's too stressful, too overwhelming. If you do want to be involved, the reality is try to get your mind around it, get the help, downsize, and do it ahead of time so you're not in a crisis trying to do it.
Well, and if you're going to leave some of your belongings to family members, invite them over, put stickers on it, have them take it now and instead of waiting, because that can be helpful to just think about, I'm not going to need this forever. I'm giving it to my daughter anyway.
Right.
She might as well just take it now. So that whole wrapping the mind around downsizing. So there may be in assisted living, you might have an apartment with a little kitchen, of course, a big handicap bathroom, that's standard, and a bedroom.
Right.
Or you would have one room and maybe possibly share the room.
Depending.
So let's talk about that and the differences. What should someone think about? Can I live in one room? Can I live with a roommate? Do I really need that apartment, and am I willing to wait for that?
So typically, you know, if you're at the point where there's really, you've got to make a move.
You can't stay anymore.
You're going to be. You can't be alone anymore. Typically, it's some event that's happened or you've had an unsafe incident or something's happened. The bottom line is you're moving. Hopefully, you've done the work. Hopefully you know what you can afford, whether it's a studio, whether it's, you know, you are going to move to a main care place and you're going to have a roommate, you might have a private room. I just think if you can get your head around the fact that you're going to go and take the things that really mean something to you and then try to make the best of it. Try to make the best of it because you're not going to be so stressed out. You're in an unsafe situation that's just not manageable. And try to get somebody that can help you with it.
And there are professional organizers.
Yes.
I know one personally. They're not expensive, and they take that emotion out of it.
That's right.
And can really help you. I told my mother with some things that she wants to keep. I said, what you could do is take a picture of it. I'll help you take a picture of the item. You have it still. We'll make a nice scrapbook of all the things you love, and then you can donate the item to charity or sell it.
That's a great idea. I've actually had somebody that was in one of my assisted livings who had beautiful jewelry, but you don't dare take it with you because you just don't know if it's going to be lost or whatever. And we took photos of all of it, and she had a photo album, and then, of course, it was locked up in a safe so that she could give it to her nieces. It was a great idea.
So you still can look at it and sort of have an image of your things without having
to. You don't have to give it all up.
You don't have to. When we come back, we'll talk more about assisted living and really focusing on pets and the amenities. And also, so you make the move, you're in, now what? Stay with us. There is more to come. We'll be right back with Joanne Gallant. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk and Joanne Gallant. So talking about the downsizing, and people are going to, if you need help, have someone help you. And you say plan early. If the person wants no part of this, they're not doing it, they're not moving, come hell or high water, they are staying in that house. Do you recommend that the adult child or the family member does the work, even without telling them, do all the research? So if something does happen, at least there's a folder. Somebody has information about all of this, because it is daunting to start this process in crisis mode.
Well, obviously, I would recommend involving the person if you at all possibly could. And sometimes there are legal ramifications on what you can give for information. But having said that, everybody's got permission to talk about each other, and I highly recommend it.
And I'm thinking more research of going online, finding out costs,
absolutely.
Finding out that type of...
I can tell you, it's the wise person that does some of this planning, because if you're the person that's going to be dealing with it when you are in a crisis, it's certainly okay. There's so much information available to you, and if you want to get on there and do the work and really understand it, because it might be quite an eye-opener, and a lot of time people don't know what their loved ones have for money. They don't know what their finances are.
And people are tight-lipped about their finances.
People don't want to share that information. They're very private. We're Mainers. We keep it to our chest. Uh-huh. We don't need help. We're not telling people our stuff. It's private. And a lot of times, people have lawyers that know more about that than their adult decision-making, children, family. So it's time to really get involved, Let's talk a little bit about some of the other things, like durable power of attorney and, living wills and those types of things. Do you even know if your family member has that? Do you understand what they care about? Now's the time to do the work. And if something has happened that's got people thinking, moo, we might need to barely be thinking about what the next steps are. If your family member doesn't want to be involved, you can do the research. And you can be prepared as you possibly can be. And there are good resources out there for you. And if you're internet savvy, everything is available to you.
How many times in your career has a family member called you and said, oh my God, Mom had a stroke. She's getting out of the hospital. She can't go home and she can't come live with me. I don't know what to do. Where is she going to go? What are we going to do?
I've had way too many of those calls. And so the other thing to do, too, is not always do you need to go do the tour. An assisted living may say send a representative over to meet your loved one in your home, in their home, which sometimes puts them at ease. So that's something that can happen, too. Hey, we're thinking Mom's going to need assisted living. She's very reluctant to come. Could somebody come and meet her? Could we get sort of a relationship established so she'll feel better? I'm trying to do this a little one step at a time. And that's a great option. But definitely plan ahead. You do not want to be in a crisis and the hospital say, hey, Mom's going home today. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I work. Who's taking care of Mom? How's that going to be? She lives alone. How's that going to happen? So, yes, plan ahead. Do the work.
And what does a person do in that situation now that we've talked about that? So you've got the call.
Mm-hmm.
What What is the recourse? Does the person have to take time off from work and be with mom until they get her somewhere?
Oftentimes that's what happens. I mean, you pull all your resources together, call families and friends. But again, that's where that lack of independence, lack of control for the person who's trying to live in their own apartment really gets escalated. And, you know, if you've had an event in the hospital and you've got the ability to go to rehab to get better before you have to go home, I love that because that's the time where it gives you the opportunity to think about what next steps are. But yeah, I mean, you got that conversation with, you got to take mom home, you know, you got to get home health involved, you got to get as many resources involved as you can. Maybe mom's going to go to your house for a while, it's not going to be able to go home. So now's the time to get thinking about it. The minute that you have something that makes you think, wow, this may not happen, you want to get going, you want to get thinking about it.
And do the research on home health and home care because they're different. Health has more of a medical component to it and home care.
And again, how are you paying for that?
How are you paying? Because that's not...
Because it's not always paid for. And that's an eye-opener for people always. Yeah.
And I find a lot of people live in 1956. They think everything is, you know, bread's not 50 cents anymore. These services, people get high hourly rates for things. And I hear this sticker shock with people. It's $25 an hour.
Right.
Well, that's on the low end.
That is on the low end.
Be ready for that. I know you have a dog. I have four cats. The pet situation, pets are so important to seniors. But if something happens... How do you approach your loved one about who's going to take care of Scruffy if you fall and break a hip and you're in the hospital?
So that's one thing I have a serious experience with. My dad's big thing was I can't go anywhere without my dog. And so we did a lot of work around that. And most places have a pet fee. So if you are in assisted living that accepts a pet, there's a non-refundable pet fee, which is appropriate. But really, you need to be able to take care of your pet. So say you get the flu and you've ended up at the hospital for a couple of days, the staff on hand are not going to take care of your pet. So you've got to have plan B. Somebody's got to come get the pet, take the pet home. So you have to be really clear on how that's all going to work. A cat's a little bit easier because they can do the litter box thing, but pets are important to people. So you need to really understand, can you have your pet? And then what's the criteria on keeping the pet?
And really talk to those family members.
You got to have plan B.
You've got to have plan B because too many times animals are turned over to shelters because the senior couldn't take them. And that is so sad.
And I've been that administrator who's had to deal with that. It puts you in a really tough bind because you can't keep the pet.
And I cannot even imagine what that would be like. So plan ahead for that.
Have plan B and C.
When we come back, we'll talk more about this with Joanne Gallant. So stay with us. So you've done all the research, you've done all your homework, the senior's fine with it, they're moving, they've downsized some, because typically they take
whatever they can. As we would.
Exactly. Whatever they can, and then they downsize after their family has moved at all.
Right.
But, so now they're in. Now what? What is that transition like?
Well, most people, you know, it's very individualized, obviously. And obviously, it really depends on how do you feel. I mean, are you feeling well? Do you feel like socializing? Do you feel like making the best of it? Or are you just going to be grumpy through the transition and you're trying to do the best you can? The word I always use is compromise. You've come from a setting where you were in charge of the decisions, and now you're coming to live with this big group of people, and the majority rules. So I've had many people in my office, and always it's like 80-20. I always tell people, think about it. 80% of the time it's going to be okay. 20% of the time it's not going to be what you want it to be. But if you can somehow get your arms around compromise, that is the name of the game. But you still are in your own environment where the majority isn't going to rule what happens in your apartment. But if you wanted to go to an outing and somebody picked a different restaurant than you wanted, well, compromise is the name of the game. And I have to say, though, I've had a lot of people say to me, I just didn't know what to expect. This isn't what I expected. And so I always talk about, hey, you're going to live with a bunch of people. You're going to have a congregate group of people. You may see them at mealtimes. You may not see them at mealtimes. You can still live in some solitude if that's what you crave, but there are people around you and they're not going away. So you will see them, like if you're going down to get your mail. You'll see them if, you know, you're going out to your car or you're going on the ride on the van and the transportation. If you didn't like people and weren't that friendly to begin with, that's okay. But those people are not going away. And I think that's the biggest compromise. Also, things like mealtime. They're set mealtimes typically. You know, so if you are the person who was up at 5 a.m., that breakfast is probably not ready for the generic assisted living. However, if you have a little microwave, a little fridge, then you can have that, you know, cup of tea and a little muffin to get going. And then when the regular breakfast hour begins, you can go out and enjoy it. So some of those things, some of those life choices where you, you know, you dined at 4 p.m., you know, the evening meal might be at 5:30. So some of those things are a little tricky, a little bit of a compromise. You know, the other thing is, you know, you're going to see people out and about walking outside, you know. So here's the adjustment. The door may be locked at 7 o'clock at night and you've got to remember to bring your key to come back in. You know, you never needed to worry about that at home.
But you leave your doors unlocked.
You leave your doors unlocked. So there are some adjustments with that.
But, and noise, it may be noisier if you lived rurally. And
the other thing is the person next door to you might be hard of hearing and their television is on screech. So it's those kinds of things. But you have resources within your assisted living that can help you through some of those things. You know, get to know who's in charge. You know, you need to have a relationship with who's in charge so that if they can't make a decision solely on what you care about, they still care about what you think is important. So if somebody's making you uncomfortable or if the noise is really loud, they will address those kinds of issues. But I'm talking about, you know, do you want to be a part of a book club? Do you want to play bridge? Or do you not want people to bother you? Do you want to go to happy hour and not have to talk? Or, you know, it's just about compromise because the people will never leave. They're still going to be there. But you can go in your apartment, hopefully, or to your room and just have some solitude and quiet, if that's something you, but compromise is the name of the game.
I realize everyone is different, but quickly before we end, is there a typical time frame, like the first year's the hardest, like they say with marriage, that people come around, or is it just, it is what it is when they get there?
I would say it's a couple of things, Carol. I think the first 30 days is critical for people. And also it's how you feel when you got there. You know, if you need some time to recoup and get healthy again, some people really excel as they've been there a while, but some people are just so grateful to not be alone, they dial right in.
Great information, Joanne Gallant. Thank you so much for being on this second edition of Assisted Living. If you'd like to reach out, yourseniortalk@gmail.com. That's it for me. Thanks for listening.